What happens when the world's most powerful nation discovers that military might alone can't solve the problems it faces? In 2013, Syrian opposition members sat in a Los Angeles meeting room, their stories of brutality and hope echoing decades of similar pleas from Haiti, Bosnia, and Kosovo. But this time, something had shifted. After 12 years of continuous warfare, thousands of American lives lost, and over $1 trillion spent, the answer wasn't as simple as deploying troops or launching airstrikes. The question hanging in the air was more fundamental. What can America realistically offer when its traditional tools no longer fit the problems at hand? This moment captures a larger truth about American power in the 21st century. We've spent two decades as the undisputed global superpower, yet we find ourselves increasingly constrained, not by lack of military capability, but by the changing nature of global challenges themselves. The threats we face today don't respect borders, can't be bombed into submission, and require sustained cooperation rather than unilateral action. From cyber attacks that can cripple infrastructure without firing a shot, to climate change that multiplies every existing security threat, to financial systems so interconnected that sanctions hurt those who impose them, we're operating in a world our Cold War playbook never anticipated. How did America spend two decades focused on one region while the world transformed around us? In 1991, Pentagon planners concluded they could intervene militarily in the region with impunity and had about 5 to 10 years to take out these old Soviet surrogate regimes before another superpower challenges us. This neoconservative vision drove the 2003 Iraq invasion. The occupation revealed military power's limits. Colin Powell warned Bush, "You break it, you own it." Critical mistakes, tolerating looting, dismissing the Iraqi army, banning Baaths, transformed swift victory into grinding occupation. A Lebanese prime minister offered reality. "You can't insist on political rights first. There's no tradition of democracy. Start with economic rights." 20 years later, thousands of American deaths, millions of refugees, trillions spent, deepening regional struggles. Russian forces operate in Syria. China invests heavily in Iran. The window of impunity has closed. While America focused on the Middle East, global threats fundamentally transformed. Despite a massive terrorist industrial complex employing 854,000 people with security clearances, terrorism has simply migrated and evolved. Cybersecurity poses an even greater challenge. America's deeply connected economy offers some 500,000 infrastructure targets vulnerable to attack. Most alarming, our power grid has likely been compromised with malicious software that could devastate electric systems during a crisis. The financial system itself became a vulnerability. Between 1999 and 2008, the sector spent $2.8 billion on lobbying, successfully dismantling regulatory protections. Debt held by financial institutions soared from $3 trillion in 1978 to $36 trillion by 2007. Despite post-2008 reforms, continued lobbying has weakened protections again. China represents a multidimensional challenge, the largest foreign holder of U.S. debt and the world's second-largest economy. The challenge spans commercial, scientific, and diplomatic dimensions, influencing terrorism, cyber threats, and financial systems. Most crucially, as the world's largest carbon emitter, China must be engaged on climate change. Climate change functions as a threat multiplier for every other challenge. Droughts in Australia and Russia drove up 2010 wheat prices, affecting countries like Syria. Projections show flood risks, reduced water supplies affecting 1/6 of the world's population, and agricultural impacts. Most alarming are potential non-linearities, sudden ice sheet collapse, or release of vast methane stores from Arctic permafrost. By May 2014, U.S. national debt reached $17.5 trillion, exceeding GDP for the first time since World War II. Interest payments alone, $220 billion in 2012, could double or triple if rates normalize, threatening to consume the entire federal budget alongside Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare by 2030. Yet, inflection points can be reversed. America has done it before. During the Great Depression, capitalism appeared to fail until World War II rearmament revitalized the economy. GDP surged 8% in 1939, 8.8% in 1940, and nearly 19% in 1942, with American war production equaling the combined outputs of Germany, Italy, and Japan. Today's economy holds substantial untapped resources. Corporations retain $2.2 trillion in earnings, private equity funds hold nearly $1 trillion, and hedge funds another $2 trillion. With 7% unemployment, millions underemployed, and industrial capacity at only 79%, America has slack resources to fuel significant growth. The question isn't whether we have the resources, it's whether we can mobilize them without requiring a war. Energy independence could supercharge the U.S. economy at minimal taxpayer cost. America's $200-300 billion annual oil imports drain 1.2 to 1.8% of GDP. Producing this fuel domestically would generate $50 to $90 billion in tax revenue and add 1.5 to 2% in real growth. Despite progress, U.S. oil production exceeded imports in October 2013 for the first time since 1995. We still import over 35% of needed oil. With oil prices estimated to reach $141 per barrel by 2040, we'll spend $5 to $7 trillion on imported oil over 25 years, unless we change course. Multiple paths forward exist. The Permian Basin and Eagle Ford Shale combined produce over 2.3 million barrels daily. Kerogen trapped in shale formations contains an estimated 2 trillion barrels, with nearly 1 trillion recoverable. Biofuels already provide approximately 10% of U.S. liquid fuel. The solution balances growth with climate concerns. Maximize hydrocarbon resources now while establishing stronger incentives for renewables. A carbon tax starting at $25 per ton would phase out carbon-intensive fuels while generating $25 billion annually. The theme becomes hydrocarbons now as we transition beyond hydrocarbons. Military force and sanctions fail against major powers in today's interconnected world. America needs positive economic leverage instead. As Lebanon's Prime Minister Rafik Hariri advised, you have to start with economic rights, creating meaningful employment. An Israeli agricultural project in Angola demonstrated this, Moshav-style villages where former soldiers earned $400 monthly farming communal land, educated children, and hired others, spreading prosperity through profit-driven development. The solution, a sovereign wealth fund providing equity investments to U.S. companies, joint ventures, and host nation entities. Unlike loan-focused mechanisms, this fund supplies risk capital with management assistance. Combined with public-private partnerships, these market extenders enable American leadership where private investors cannot participate. These tools extend development into hinterlands, reaching isolated individuals vulnerable to terrorist recruitment. Profit-driven ventures bring U.S. entrepreneurial talent to partner with local businessmen, while sovereign wealth funds seed major efforts and attract follow-on funding. This addresses terrorism, cyber threats, and climate change simultaneously, not through military action, but by creating economic conditions that make extremism less appealing. Decline isn't inevitable. Reversal demands concrete action. An energy-enabled strategy for growth, responsible development, and security combines innovative energy production with escalating carbon taxes to transition from hydrocarbons. This restores economic growth that reduces partisan tensions, raises American influence, and demonstrates our political system works. Energy independence and climate leadership can reverse our trajectory. Renewed growth enables addressing cyber threats, protecting financial systems, engaging China from strength, and leading climate action through example. Five strategic challenges: terrorism, cybersecurity, financial stability, China's rise, and climate change could unite the country without requiring an enemy. This demands leveraging domestic energy resources, strengthening leadership in global markets and climate initiatives, and developing tools to export entrepreneurship. This requires historic compromise. Oil lobby and environmentalists, growth advocates and deficit hawks, interventionists and isolationists. The unifying theme, hydrocarbons now as we transition beyond hydrocarbons, acknowledges immediate needs and long-term realities. If we unite around this vision, America can continue leading toward freedom, dignity, and opportunity. The question isn't whether we have resources, it's whether we have wisdom to use them differently.